somebody, would you clap your hands unto the Lord? We love you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord Jesus. Is there anybody in the house that needs victory? You need the hand of God on your life. We love you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Turn around and give a high five to somebody. Tell them you're glad to see them. If you're not glad, at least act like it. Praise God, praise God. It is so good to see each and every one of you here on this Sunday morning. You could be anywhere else, but we're thankful you're here worshiping with us. One more time, would you clap your hands unto the Lord and thank Him today? What a wonderful Sunday to be in the presence of God. Before you're seated, saying, I think I know who you are. Now look at that person next to you and say, do you know who you are? And you may be seated. Knowing who you are in a confused world. It's kind of a crazy world out there, isn't it? It's a confusing world, isn't it? Somebody say amen. We are living in troubled times, almost confusing, and if we were to allow it, it could even be a little discouraging. Now, I would be the first to admit this, and I'm not sure I even thought it could get to this type of thinking. But today, it is as if it mirrors what Scripture says in Romans chapter 1, when Paul issued a warning and then a reminder, or a reminder and a warning. His reminder is found in Romans chapter 1, verses 6 through 7. He said, you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ, to all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. Right away, the Apostle Paul wanted to remind the believers in Rome that they belong to Jesus Christ, that they loved God, and they are called to be saints. Is there anybody here today that you belong to Jesus, called the Christ? Is there anybody today you know that you are loved by God, and there's nobody like Jesus Christ? And also, he said this, he said, you are called to be saints. You see, Rome was intellectually alert, materially prosperous, and yet morally corrupt. G. Lacosman of the Southwestern Journal of Theology writes, the attitude of the city towards immorality involved no condemnation whatever. On the contrary, it was considered to be a normal part of life. The same loose attitude was often reflected in the church. The case of incest and the question about the Christian views of marriage had their roots in the immoral lives of those in the city. Most of the members of the church were Gentiles, and the strict morality characteristic of the Jews was foreign to them. They found it difficult to understand what they once considered virtue was now a sin. He continues to write, idolatry is another feature of the city which was closely linked to its immorality. There were numerous temples, and the worship in these temples was popular among the residents. These idol temples played a significant role in both economic and social life. End of quote. And I read the book of Romans, and it is like reading an excerpt from a headline from the 21st century. Forgive me. But our world does serve many gods, not the one true living God. Can somebody say amen? I read in Romans chapter 1 and 18, and I see the ungodliness, the impiety of, or the lack of respect for the reverence of the one true living God. Oh, make no mistake. We have our gods today to whom we offer our body and our allegiance to. Dare I meddle into that a little? I might meddle a little bit, but we ought to be careful because you see, there is the money God, there's the video game God, there's the sports God, there's the food God, there's the self-indulgence. I believe I'm standing in a place, though, here today that we still believe what the Word of God says here. Oh, Israel, the Lord our God is one. And thou shalt love that one true living God with all. Everybody say all. All thy mind, all thy soul, and all thy spirit. Is there anybody that still believes that today? Say amen. But see, Romans chapter 1. Boy, I really meddled. When I said the video game God, I just felt like, whoop, bah, 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 bah. Yeah. Felt like I got unplugged or something there. And then when I got on the food God, because I'm hungry. But I read in Romans chapter 1. Paul is attempting to remind us of who we are and to whom we belong to. Because here's the issue. If we forget that, we will become unthankful, which will start the unforgiving domino effect of self-indulgence and the sins that we don't get to choose the consequences to. Somebody say amen. One translation reads like this of Romans chapter 1, verse 18. And it is a little lengthy of a read, so we've kind of broken it down so we could maybe walk through it. And I'm reading this little modern translation because it brings us to the terms that you and I might understand today. Can somebody say amen and thank you? Yeah, there you go. What happened was people knew God perfectly well, but when they didn't treat him like God, refusing to worship him, they trivialized themselves into silliness and confusion so that there was no sense nor direction left in their lives. They pretend to know it all, but were illiterate regarding life. They traded the glory of God, who holds the whole world in his hands, for cheap figurines you can buy at any roadside stand. Verse 24. So God said, in effect, if that's what you want, that is exactly what you're going to get. And it wasn't long before they were living in a pig pen smeared with filth, filthy inside and out. And all this because they traded the true God for a fake God. Can I preach or pause and say that we've got to make sure that we serve the one true living God? And they worship the God they made instead of the God who made them, the God we bless, the God who blesses us. Oh, yes. Verse 26, worse followed, though, refusing to know God, they soon didn't know how to be human either. That sounds like today, doesn't it? Women didn't know how to be women. Men didn't know how to be men. Sexually confused, they abused and defiled one another. Women with women, men with men. All lust, no love. And then they paid for it. Oh, how they paid for it. Emptied of God and love, godless and loveless wretches. Verse 28. Since they didn't bother to acknowledge God, God quit bothering them and let them run loose. And then all hell broke loose, rampant evil, grabbing and grasping, vicious backstabbing. They made life hell on earth with their envy, their wanton killing, their bickering, their cheating. Look at them, mean-spirited, venomous, fork-tongued God-bashers, bullies, swaggers, insufferable windbags. I always love it when I read that version, and it says they're insufferable windbags. I don't know what it is. It's fun. I keep thinking of the whoopee cushion I slid under the lady at church when I was a little one. It says they keep inventing. Don't try that, kids. I should have taken a. Believe me, I got in a lot of trouble for it. They, watch this, they keep inventing new ways of wrecking lives. They ditch their parents when they get in the way. Watch this. Stupid, slimy, cruel, cold-blooded. And it's not as if they don't know any better. They know perfectly well they're spitting in God's face and they don't care. Worse, they hand out prizes to those who do the worst things best. Now, doesn't that sound like today? Come on, somebody, say amen. That's the Word of God, and that sure sounds like the day and times in which we're living. Now, I'm not judging this world's sin as if one sin is greater than the other. I'm going to just say it like this. Sin is sin, and it needs to be repented of. It doesn't matter the choice of your sin. We all need to repent. Come on, somebody, would you clap your hands and say, I need to repent. It doesn't matter if you want to be a slimy windbag. You need to repent. Somebody say amen. 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 But I remind us today that it, the degradation of society and humanity, you, look at the person next to you and say, you. Turn around, look at somebody and say, I'm talking to you. In the degradation of society today, in the way that this world is going, I'm talking to every last one of us. You belong to Jesus Christ. You belong to Jesus Christ. You want to know who you are in this confusing world? The first thing you need to settle the issue is, I belong to Jesus Christ. Come on, clap your hands and shout hallelujah. Here's another thing we've got to settle the issue to. In this confusing world, you need to know who you are. And Paul said it, you are loved by God. You are loved by God. And that last thing he said, that in these last confusing days, you are called to be saints. But sometimes I get to be an ain't every once in a while. Come on, you know it. You're an ain't every once in a while too. But God has called you and I. We belong to Jesus. We are loved by God and we're called to be saints. You see, the interesting thing though is the word saint. It's interesting. It's a word in itself. It's who we are and whom we should attempt and aspire to be. For saint means set apart by God or for God. It's holy. They're sacred. They're morally blameless. They're consecrated. It derives itself from a Greek word that we probably all may never utilize every single day, but it means agios, which means different. They're unlike. They're holy. It means this likeness of nature with the Lord because they're different from the world. William Barclay described it like this. The fundamental core meaning of hagios is different. And so he described it like this, that in those first century times of when they were building temples, they said that a temple was hagios, it was holy. Because here's why, a temple looked different than every other building around it. It had a purpose. It was different from everyone and everything around it. And so when we read the word saints, that's exactly the same word that the Apostle Paul is saying. He said, you know what? You're different. You're set apart because there's a purpose for you and you're different than anything around it. Different. Special, holy, and distinct from the world because we are like our Lord. And when I think of that very word, distinct from the world, my mind then goes all the way back to the Old Testament teachings and scriptures about a group of people that kind of had a calling. They had a way of life. It was really odd. It was really kind of looked down on. But they were shepherds. You see, shepherds in biblical times, they had their own way of life. They weren't necessarily the outcast of societies. They simply had a lifestyle all their own. If you were to study shepherds in biblical times, you'll find some interesting facts, and I'll walk us through some of them quickly. In Egypt, the shepherds of the Jewish people were looked down on due in part to their nomadic ways. You see, Pharaoh in Egypt was looking for people to settle down in their land and become servants to that of the Egyptian ways. They didn't want people to just merely pass through. Matter of fact, we find it in Genesis chapter 46, how Joseph was in the house of Pharaoh. He was not born there. He was not Egyptian, but rather God positioned him there for a purpose. Aren't you thankful today that you've got a purpose? Look at that person next to you and say, you've got a purpose. Egypt, before we get too far into the study, into the scriptures, we've got to understand that according to biblical scholars, and we can liken Egypt in scripture, it depicts a spirit of worldly pleasures, which we read about in Romans chapter 1. Everybody remember Romans chapter 1? Someone say amen. You see, this spiritual Egypt is not serving the one true living God, but serving things and sin. And Egypt is a nasty, nasty taskmaster. It demands much, but the return is very little. Hear me clearly today. We are living in a spiritually dark time, and there is coming a mass exodus for God's people. And I don't know about you, but I want to make sure I'm ready to go to heaven. I want to know who I am in this confusing world. I want to know that I belong to God, I'm loved by God, and I'm called to be a saint. I want to know I'm loved by God, and called to be a saint. Somebody say amen. But even in this crazy world in which Joseph is living in, it's amazing when you begin to read and begin to just kind of just go through the pages of Holy Writ and see how he served God even though he had to live in a confusing, crazy world. Gives me a little hope, doesn't it? Gives us all a little bit of hope that in this crazy, confusing world, guess what? We've got plenty of examples in Scripture that says they made it, you can make it. They made it, we can make it. We want to serve God with everything. That's what it's going to take. And may we all have the courage to stand for the one true living God while living here in this spiritually dark world. But Joseph, he had revealed himself to his brothers, and that it was his very brothers who sold him into slavery. And now he's got this audience, or his brothers have an audience with him, where now they're into his reign, his domain, and he's telling his brothers to gather the family together because there was a famine coming in the land, and that they needed to kind of gather themselves closely. And so there they are. They're ready to move from where they were and come to a place where he was in power and authority. Joseph, he had learned some things about the Egyptians, so he wanted to kind of give the information, pass the information on to his brethren and his family. And so he was wanting them to be settled in a better place than where they once was. It was a better part of town. It was where the better water was found and most land. So he devised a plan for them. But he felt that he had to say a few things to them. He had to kind of give them, you know, some information about, it's kind of like going in for an interview. When you go into the interview, make sure you do this, this, and this, but don't you dare say that. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Here it is. Genesis chapter 46. It's Joseph now talking to his brothers. He's trying to get them in, kind of fill them in on some information about what to do and what not to do. So he says this, and it shall come to pass when Pharaoh shall call you and shall say, what is your occupation? Then you shall say, verse 34, thy servant's trade hath been about cattle from our youth even until now, both we and our fathers, that you may dwell in the land of Goshen. And here's why. For every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians. Why don't you just read that last part out loud? For every shepherd is an abomination unto Egyptians. For every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians. One translation reads like this: when Pharaoh calls you and asks you what kind of work you do, you tell him, your servants have always kept livestock for as long as we can remember, and so has our parents. The way he'll let you stay apart in the area of Goshen, for Egyptians look down on anyone who's a shepherd. His instructions was simply this. Listen, guys. It's kind of like having a family meeting. Anybody ever have a family meeting where you gather your kids close and you say, we're going into so-and-so's house. Don't touch this. We're going to the store. I walked into Walmart the other day and I wanted to laugh because I knew what was happening, because I've done it and my kids have done it to me. This mother had this box of muffins, blueberry muffins in her hands, and she said, who put these in here? I know I didn't put it in there. The little girl's just standing there. She looked so hungry. And I wanted to say, I'll buy them. And then I thought, I'll go and throw another box in there just for fun. I mean, I've done that. I'm that guy. I know. I shouldn't be that guy, but I'm the guy that if they got the little bar down, meaning that that's where their stuff ends and yours begins, I'll throw a pack of gum sometimes just on their side to see if they have to pay for it. I shouldn't do that. I shouldn't do it. But I'm that guy sometimes. Not all the time. Don't judge me. But there it is. Here it is. Here's. I'm telling everybody what to do and what not to do, aren't I? All these kids are going to go out and do crazy things. That's your parents' fault, though. It's your fault. But here he is. Joseph is sitting there having this conversation with his brothers. He's wanting the best for them. He's kind of sat them down. They got a family meeting going on. He says, listen, guys, whatever you do, don't tell them that you're shepherds. Yeah, but that's what we are. I could just imagine the conversation coming alive. There's Simeon and Levi and Reuben. They're all like, yeah, but that's who we are. No, not here. Not in Egypt. Not in this palace. Not in this land of Goshen. You're getting the best of the water. You're getting the best ground. You tell them you are a cowboy. You know? Don't say that you're a shepherd. It kind of sounds like today, doesn't it? You can be a closet Christian, but don't raise your voice and say anything about what really the love of God truly is. I can hear now Joseph is speaking to his family in private, and this family meeting that's going on. Guys, and they're kind of getting a little riled up. I mean, they hadn't seen each other for so long, and so they're getting a little worked up, and they're like, what do you mean, Joseph? I'm not going to listen to you. We've done well by ourselves out here in the land where we've been grazing. We've raised some pretty good herd. It's not called herds. It's a flock. Is that correct, Brother Mike? He told me. Yeah. You raised sheep, right, one time? So he told me it was a flock of sheep and a herd of cattle. Okay. So he's trying to tell them, and they're like, no, we don't want you to do that. Guys, listen to me. You're farmers. You're cowboys. You're ranchers. You're cattlemen. You don't just specialize in sheep. Sheep can be something of what you work with, but that's not what you mainly do. Your purpose is just to get your foot in the door. And if you could get your foot in the door, then great things could happen. It sounds like an interview, doesn't it? If we could just get you to say the right things. And that sometimes, that coaxing doesn't always work, because if you tell somebody not to do something, they're more than likely to have crazy come out. And so he's telling them, just get your foot in the door. You don't tell, yeah, but we're shepherds. That's what we do. I don't know anything about bovine. I don't know anything about cows. I don't know anything about crops. Yeah, but you're a farmer. Use those words correctly. Do you understand, Reuben, what I'm trying to say? And Joseph, and they're having this argument. You're telling them you're not sheep herders. You're not. That's not what you do here in Egypt. Make sure that you don't say that you're just a shepherd here, and here's why. And here he tells it, and we've read it in scriptures, because Egyptians hated shepherds. And I started wondering about that statement, and I started beginning to look at the reasoning behind as to why Joseph's desires were to silence his family on this matter. And I started looking more deeply into scriptures, and I found a little bit of things out and a little history out. And according to some scholars, they state that the reason why Egyptians hated shepherds. Everybody say Egyptians hated shepherds. And here's why. It was because shepherds were nomadic. They were people who were merely passing through. They weren't going in to set down roots there. They were people who did not belong to society. They were people who looked different than them. They were people who acted different than them. They were people who believed different than them. Are you hearing what I'm laying out here today? You see, Egyptians hated shepherds. And here Joe was trying to educate his brothers in the Egyptians' ways of how to do and what to do, what to say and what not to say. Somebody say amen. I can hear it now. Joseph's saying, it's not politically correct to say that here. Boy, that ruffles feathers today, doesn't it? You know, I'm not really worried about being politically correct as much as I am biblically correct. It doesn't matter to me what the donkey and the elephant's doing. I'm more concerned about the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of this world. Come on, somebody. Are you more consumed about what God says, what God does, what God commands? So here Joseph, he's telling him, he's like, hey, guys, it's not politically correct to say that you're a shepherd. Call yourself a herdsman, but not a shepherd. Now keep in mind that these brothers of Joseph, they're the ones with a past. Keep in mind that these brothers are the same ones that actually hurt him. Keep in mind that these brothers were the same ones who messed up and who had fallen short. You get where I'm going here today? You see, Egypt was a sign of the world. Egypt, shepherd haters because they didn't belong. Egypt, shepherd haters because shepherds were different and were merely passing through. Egypt, the place who were looking to better their society, yet by education and so forth. You see, Egypt, they didn't want sheep herders who looked different, acted different, worked different, and most certainly were only going to be passing through. You see, Egypt wanted a group of people that would better their world and yet submit to their system and contribute and blend in and become just part of Egypt. But you see, shepherds didn't fit that theory. That's why they hated, everybody say Egyptians hated shepherds. And then you've got Joseph's brothers. These guys were shepherds. They were cheats. They were politically incorrect. They had a past. They had issues. They suffered with guilt and shame for what they did. But now they're reunited with their brother. Joseph is in a place they really didn't belong, in a community that they wouldn't remain forever in. And Joseph wanted his family to have the best land. So here he is. He's pumping the brakes. They're excited to be there. They're ready to put down roots. But then here he is. He's saying, wait a minute, guys. Don't tell them you're a shepherd. Everybody say it. Egyptians hate shepherds. Tell them you're cattlemen. Tell them you're herdsmen. Tell them you take care of a wide range of animals. Don't, whatever you do, don't tell them you're a shepherd. Don't you dare tell them you're different, you're set apart, you've got a purpose. And look what happens the moment they come before Pharaoh. The Pharaoh of Egypt, Genesis chapter 47 and verse 3, the Bible reads, and Pharaoh said unto his brethren, what is your occupation? Now they just had this conversation, folks. They knew exactly what they were supposed to go in there and say. And they said unto Pharaoh, thy servants are shepherds, both we, also our family. They couldn't say it fast enough. Do you realize how Joseph had to feel sitting over there in the other chair thinking, oh my God, I just had this conversation. And just as soon as he asked, what do you do for work? And the first thing that comes out of their mouth, they're saying, I'm a shepherd. I mean, just as soon as he asked them, it's as if just, forgive me for the words, but it's like word vomit just fell out. I'm a shepherd, just as quick as they could. Hear me today. This is what I'm trying to get at. That knowing who you are in a confused world, hear me today, is what I'm trying to say to you is don't be ashamed of who you are and who you walk with and who you serve. You serve the one true living God. You won't look the same. You won't talk the same. You belong to God. You're loved by God and you're called to be saints. Come on, somebody, why don't you clap your hands and shout hallelujah. The very first thing that rolled off their tongue was, we're shepherds and not just my whole family's shepherds. What do you mean? Joseph was a shepherd? Oh, yeah, Joseph grew up with sheep, too. He's one bad dude. There you go, my dad joke. This is my dad joke. You see, you and I can relate to Joseph's brethren today. Because let's face it, I'm going to talk real to us. Every last one of us have a past. Somebody say amen. Every last one of us have messed up. Come on, somebody. We've all done things that we might not be proud of. We might battle with shame. But hear me today. Don't you dare be ashamed of who you are in this world. You belong to God. You belong to God. You're loved by God. And you're called to be a saint. Oh, my God, I feel like the Lord's telling us today, you need to know who you belong to. You belong to God. Yeah, but I got a past. I'm a shepherd. I don't belong here. I know I messed up, but I belong to God. Somebody clap your hands and say hallelujah. Isn't it ironic that God Almighty chose shepherds to receive the announcement of his coming? Because, again, they were in society, but really not part of society. You see, again, shepherds have their own lifestyle. You know, when we get to jamming out to our Christian music, and you're sitting there by your car, and you're like jamming, and I'm like, ta 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 ta, and I mean, or you could be sitting there, and for whatever reason, there's a song coming on, and it's just touching you, and it's not Boys to Men. I'm sorry, that's my age. I remember those. But it's something like Jesus culture, and it's or it's something different, and it's, oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God, that God loves me in spite of where I was. You see, we might listen to things different, but be thankful. You don't belong here. You belong to God. You belong to God. That's what Paul was trying to tell them. You belong to Jesus Christ. You're loved by God and you're called to be a saint. You're called to be different. Look at somebody now and say, boy, you are different. Some of you are thinking right now like, oh my God, what kind of church did I walk into? This is different. It's okay. It's all right. But you see, shepherds had their own lifestyle. They had their own culture. They had these plans that I'm not going to stay here. I'm just passing through. Again, I tell you, knowing who you are in a confused world, you got to know this. You belong to Jesus Christ. You are loved by God, and you're called to be a saint. That's who we are. Hear me today. We as the church of the living God, the ecclesia, which is what's translated, means called out, but called to. We have our own way of doing things. We have our own spiritual culture. When you walked into this place, some of you walked in, you're like, they're clapping their hands, and it's not an Ohio State game, and they won. Ranked number one still, right, Brother John? Oh, yeah. Good God, what did I start in here? Some of you getting mad already, getting bitter about the team up north or whatever you want to call it. My mother was born in Ohio. My dad's from West Virginia, so my mother always said she was just a worthless nut. She was a Buckeye. But the Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippians, Philippians chapter 3 and 20, our citizenship is in heaven. And from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. I rise today to encourage us. Don't let the world push you into its mold. God chose shepherds to reveal his coming. God will choose shepherds to come back to. Be thankful that you belong to Jesus. Be thankful you belong to God. Be thankful you're called to be a saint. You ought to stand up and say, that's who I am. That's who I am. That's who I am. I'm not ashamed to be a Christian. I'm not ashamed to be called out and called to. Everybody say it. I'm a shepherd. I belong to Jesus. I'm loved by God. And I'm called to be a saint. Clap your hands and say hallelujah. Now quickly, you can be seated. We got to work fast. We got a baby shower to go to, and I'm really hungry. I told somebody about my secret stash, and I just know it's not a secret anymore. My wife probably already knew. My kids have already raided my Mountain Dew stash up somewhere. And my little Debbies that are stashed somewhere. But quickly now, we know why Joseph told his brothers to be silent regarding their occupation. But again, I find it so ironic that it was revealed to shepherds regarding the birth of Jesus Christ. And here's what I find interesting about this ragtag group of wanderers to whom God chose to reveal his birth to. Shepherding, you could study this out. It's in there. It's in history. Shepherding was a family business. You see, the youngest boy often became the shepherd. The youngest boy in the family becomes the shepherd of the sheep herd, especially when the family business is both being a farmer of grain and into the agricultural business of sheep herding and other animal raisings, they write. They state that as the older son grows up, he transfers his energies from sheep raising to helping the father with sowing, plowing, and harvesting the crops. And he passes on to the shepherd's task to the younger next boy. And so the job is passed from older to younger until the youngest of all becomes the family shepherd. Isn't it ironic that God Almighty chose the announcement of his birth to be given to, everybody say shepherds. But when you think about it, it does make sense. We might feel overlooked, but the father thinks enough of his kids to put them in charge of the next sacrifice. Hear me today. What we call, what they called sacrifice, we'll call it worship. And the father seeketh such that worship him and must worship him in spirit and in truth. Oh my God, somebody said, I belong to Jesus. Proverbs 22 and 6 says, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they shall not depart from it. And some of you parents are wondering, how in the world can this be true? My child is not serving God, but your child is not old yet. I'm telling us today, you keep the faith. You keep the faith. He chose shepherds to announce his birth. He's coming to those that will come and accept his reception. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah. So I say to us, make seeking God a family affair. Because you see, shepherds passed it down to the next one and to the next one and to the next one. Make seeking after God a family affair, that everybody in your family is going to know who Jesus is. And not just know who he is, but how to have a relationship with him in a confusing world. I'm telling us today, that's exactly what we need. We need to put it in our children that you are loved by God, you belong to Jesus, and you are separated for his cause. There's something else I found that did you know that in some rabbinic studies that shepherds could hold no voice of significance in the courtroom? Their voice would carry no weight against them. Hear me today. When the enemy comes in like a flood and wants to accuse you of all the reasons why you're not worthy to stand in God's presence, it's okay. We have to understand that God has the final say. And the Bible says we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. His blood will plead your case. You see, you belong to Jesus Christ. You are loved by God, and you are called to be saints. That's knowing who you are in this confusing world. In this ever-changing world, may we understand who we are and to whom we belong to. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, what know you not that your body is the temple? Remember that word saint is likened unto the word hagios, which means to be wholly consecrated. It is actually because it's different. And here we find in Scripture, the Bible, the writer of Corinthians, the Apostle Paul, he's saying your body is the temple. It's different. It's set apart. Look at somebody and say, boy, you are different. You are. You're not a freak show. But you are your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you. And if he's not in you yet, guess what? You can have the Holy Ghost today. He wants you to belong to him. Watch this, verse 20. For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. That doesn't mean weird, freaky, and whacked out. It means you are a prized possession. That is you, a saint. You belong to God. You are loved by God and you're called to be a saint. That's what Peter's telling us. So it makes sense now why God chose shepherds to announce his coming. He's come to those who have no voice. He's coming to those to whom are merely passing through. He's coming to those to whom seem insignificant to the world. You see, today, hear me clearly today. You want to know who you are in this confusing world? You belong to Jesus Christ. You belong. You are loved by God. And in spite of what you've done, what's been in your past, it doesn't matter. You're loved by God. My God, I feel the love of God in this place. The love of God. What I love about this very church or this group of people that gather here, because some people say, well, we're not a church, that's a building, blah, blah. I'll argue that point all day long and I'll win because I got a microphone. But watch this. You know, what I love about this particular place is it doesn't matter your past. What matters is whether or not you're going to get a future. Oh my God, I believe that today. It doesn't matter what's found in your past as long as we start with right now and get a look into your future. You need God. You belong to God. You're loved by God and you're called to be a saint. Let's all stand. I like the fact that he chose shepherds. Because watch this, shepherds knew how to get to where they had to go and do what they had to do. Luke chapter 2, verse 15. It came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And verse 16, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. I stand here today to challenge us, to challenge each of you to do whatever it takes to get in the presence of Jesus called the Christ. Do whatever it takes. See, the Bible states the moment the angels got done talking with them, they made haste. They got up and ran. Hear me today. You want to belong to him? Get in his presence. You want to feel the love of Jesus Christ? Get in his presence. Oh, my God. You want to feel the love of Jesus Christ? Get in his presence. You're going to feel a peace that you've never felt before. You're going to feel a love that you've never felt before. You're going to feel a sense of completion that you've never, ever felt before. See, Paul gave us, he gave us the answer to knowing who we are in this crazy world, in this confusing world. You're loved by God. You belong to Jesus. And you're called to be a saint. But what I love about shepherds in the Old Testament and even in the birth of Jesus Christ, what I find amazing about that is the moment they received a heavenly proclamation, they ran to where Jesus was. If you want to experience true peace, if you want to experience true joy, hear me today. I'm not just some clown from around town wearing a tie around the neck today. I know exactly what it's like to battle a few things. I know exactly what it's like to battle. I could just go down the list, but it wouldn't make any sense to do so. I'm not trying to one-up anybody. I'm just trying to say every last one of us are on equal ground, and we need Jesus. But it's going to take you getting into his presence to know that he really loves you. It's going to take his presence getting into you to understand that you belong to him. And it's going to take his presence to surround us to know that we're called by him. Would you grab the hand of the person next to you right now? me, I already know what to do. If you feel comfortable enough, would you step out from where you are? If you want to belong, get in His presence. If you want to feel His love, you got to get into His presence. If you want to feel His power, you got to get into His presence. It's in His presence we're going to find that He is able to replace all of our burn-up dreams of what we planned and replace it with something great and beautiful. Shepherds made haste to get to Jesus, and Paul said, hey, in this crazy world,